a lot of things happening here at Gulfstream, and it's a special day for the breeders of Gunnevera, and that is Pam and Jim Robinson. They own Brandywine Farm in Paris, Kentucky, and we are fortunate now to be joined by Pam. Pam, thanks for taking a few minutes this morning. Really appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Actually, we haven't been to bed. We had 5 polls in the last 24 hours, so it's not even a continuous from yesterday.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, the beat goes on.
Yes, you know, and I was listening to your replay in terms of Gunnevera and Practical Joke. You know, Practical Joke was raised right across the road from us at Whispering Oaks. The way the crow flies, it's a mile.
Well, they always talk about the soil in Kentucky and how fertile it is, and that's the reason that it's so good for the thoroughbreds, but there must be something in the water out there in Paris, too.
Well, we have well water, and I think that it's rich in minerals, and so we also have city water, but we prefer to use the well water for watering the horses.
Well, it's worked pretty well, and it's worked well for Gunnevera, who, as we mentioned, is the likely favorite later today. Pam, I didn't want to steal your thunder in the open to the broadcast, so I didn't get into the full story on Gunnevera. I wanted you to tell it because it is so remarkable and it's such a positive for our sport. Go ahead and tell Gunnevera's story.
Well, the sad part of Gunnevera's story is the fact that his dam died about 10 days after birth. But and it started initially, she did hemorrhage at foaling, but that was addressed and she was stable. And after about 3 days, she and her foal were going out in a small paddock and were acting as completely normal mare and foal. But about 10 days after foaling, she's a 19-year-old mare, and she all of a sudden dropped dead in her paddock just very, very suddenly. And it was said that she had a heart attack, which was extremely unfortunate. But that meant that the foal then needed another mother, which is when we call in for a nurse mare. And the reason that we get a nurse mare is because from that point until the nurse mare arrives, we are bottle feeding that foal every hour around the clock. And nurse mare farms are set up to feed their babies because they have staff that's what they do and that's the business they're in. But when we're operating a large farm, why, it would take a person full-time job to keep up with just feeding the foal every hour. And so, as I say, he was raised on a nurse mare, and I have found out, went back in records, her name was Jenny, that we got from John Porter, who has very nice nurse mares that he raises the babies to sell for pleasure horses, show horses, riding horses. So his nurse mare foals are well taken care of, and, you know, they're a money-making project for him, too, in terms of future desirable horses.
Well, Gunnevera starts out as an orphan, and now he is a million-dollar earner, and he's a horse that is favored in the Florida Derby later today. Pam, I read somewhere that you said he was actually maybe even extra spoiled on the farm. Is that true?
Well, nurse mares are very docile, and so the two of them would come to the gate, and he constantly wanted attention, and I can't remember how long it took for the nurse mare to arrive, but it wasn't within 24 hours. So, you know, he had that extra special bonding with human contact, and he expected to get attention and, you know, like to be played with like a big puppy dog.
Well, that often happens when you have an orphan foal. Everybody on the farm feels a little sorry for him, too, for losing their mom. So they do get a little bit of extra special attention. He's by dialed in, and at the time, dialed in wasn't a known factor. He's had a tremendous run of luck starting out as a stallion. Talk about why you bred to dialed in and what goes into the thought process, because you're a consigner as well as a breeder.
Well, Darby Dan over the years has had very successful sires, and so we always go to look at their new horses coming to stud, and dialed in was a big, good-looking, well-conformed horse, had a lot of presence to him, nice big long stride, and our mare, By Unbridled, was also a big, good-looking mare, and just thought that the two of them would be a very good match for each other. And I liked the horse so much that we did 2 breeding rights in that horse, lifetime breeding rights.
Well, Pam, you know, a lot of people would say that this is a rags-to-riches type of story, and it has nothing to do with Gunnevera not being a good-looking horse, because he certainly was a good-looking baby, and he's a good-looking horse now. But you took him to the sale, and things didn't go quite the way you had hoped.
Well, you know, sometimes people don't get to the sales grounds maybe as early as they should, and some of your best buys, I think, occur in the first 10 horses through the ring. And maybe people leave a little early and miss the last 10 horses in the ring. But he was, I'm pretty sure he was the second horse going through the ring. In fact, the first horse might have even scratched. He might have been the first horse that day. But, you know, the people just hadn't gotten there and gotten into the buying mode yet. And so, you know, we knew we were in trouble, but when there was nobody in the back walking ring, but we breed enough yearlings, and we have a good reputation for taking our horses to the sales and selling them and not RNAing everything, you know, buying everything back. So it's more important for us in some respects to keep that type of reputation than to you know, say, buy everything back and get a reputation of not selling.
Talking with Pam Robinson, Brandywine Farm. They are the breeders and the consigners of Gunnevera. Pam, you look back on what happened last year. He breaks his maiden July 16th here at Gulfstream, goes to Saratoga. He wins the Grade 2 Saratoga Special by a length. Describe your emotions, and as you're watching him win both of those races, what was that like for you?
Well, it's a good thing that I watch on our large screen TV in the house, because by the time that he's coming down the stretch, I'm jumping up and down and acting kind of foolish, you know. And my old Jack Russell, and I would do things like that, used to bite me in the back of the legs to keep me in check. But, you know, the emotions of the whole thing, the truth of the matter is when we had Ruler Nice running in the Belmont or Danza running in the Kentucky Derby or It's My Lucky Day, the emotions weren't quite the same as they are with this horse, and I'm not exactly sure why. But I've had a stomachache all day yesterday.
Oh, you shouldn't let it stress you out, but you're such a name dropper.
Well, it is.
It's nice to have those kind of names to drop, isn't it?
Right.
What's the secret, you know, Pam? Those are some pretty good names.
Well, yes, we've had three horses run in classic races over the last 5 years, so that's not too bad of a record. But, you know, what is also more important to me is the Sanyo family. Can you imagine what they have gone through in terms of the last few years and coming to this country, but being kidnapped and what the whole family has had to face? So when I read his story, why, you know, it just kind of sends chills through my spine. And, you know, in this country, we don't realize that things like that can take place. So we're so fortunate that, we live in this country.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story, both on the human side and the equine side. Pam, do you even allow yourself the opportunity to think about what it might be like if he wins the Florida Derby and then goes on and takes the Kentucky Derby here in 30 some odd days?
I'm trying to not go that far into the future. It's enough stress just thinking about the Florida Derby right now. But and people ask me, will we go to the Derby? Hopefully he's going to make it that far. I mean, he doesn't even have to win today, I don't think, in terms of going on to the next step. But first place, I said we hadn't gotten an invitation, but secondly, I don't know that I could handle the emotions in front of how many thousands of people, because I would hate to make a fool of myself in terms of jumping up and down and falling out of the stands or something crazy like that.
Well, we wouldn't want you to injure yourself, but I think anybody that wins the Derby has a right to make a fool of themselves. That's pretty cool.
Well, you see, I'm usually pretty cool and calm and reserved, so that's why it would be somewhat out of character, you see.
It may be safer watching it in front of the big screen. Is that where you're going to watch the race today?
I think so. I think so,
No. You'll watch right in front of the big screen today, Pam? Is that the plan?
Yes. We'll probably just order a pizza and sit here and wait for the race to start.
Well, we wish you all the best. It's a tremendous story. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us. And to you and to your husband, Jim, keep it rolling. And all the best moving forward. And best of luck in this afternoon's Florida Derby.
Thank you very much. Thank you for
go get yourself a nap.
I will, after we get done with the vet work. I left it in capable hands of two other people on the farm, so now I think I need to go and supervise.
Well said. Pam Robinson, okay. Brandywine Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.